living below in this so sinful world. Hardly a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation so. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. I'm needing a friend to help me. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord.
You. Thank you for sharing with us this morning. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find Mark chapter 12. In just a moment, I'll begin reading in verse 28. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. I want to share a message with you entitled this morning, "How Far Are You From the Kingdom of God?" How far are you from the kingdom of God? And that question and that idea comes from a statement that Jesus makes in Mark chapter 12 and verse 34. And we'll see that more so in just a moment. But just a reminder, we are in the last week of Jesus' life. This is later in the day on Tuesday of Passion Week. And Jesus is going to continue a conversation with Jewish religious leaders. And so if you have found Mark chapter 12 and verse 28, I invite you to stand this morning in honor of God's word. Follow along as I read through verse 34, thinking again about this question: how far are you from the kingdom of God? "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' So the scribe said to him, 'Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You're not far from the kingdom of God.' But after that, no one dared question him." Let's pray together. Father, teach us from your word this morning. Again, we pray for eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that's receptive to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. So notice with me, if you will, here in verse 28, as we consider God's word together this morning, notice an examination by a scribe. An examination by a scribe. Verse 28 says, "Then one of the scribes came to him." Well, as I said, this is a running conversation. This is a running dialogue with the Jewish religious leaders. If you'll look back, you'll see in verse 14 that some Pharisees came to Jesus. And then if you'll look in verse 18, you will see that some Sadducees came to Jesus. And now, in verse 28, a scribe came to Jesus. And so it's this running dialogue, this running conversation with the Jewish religious leaders. And we've talked about the scribes in the recent weeks. We've talked about the chief priests. We've talked about the elders. We've talked about the scribes. And who were the scribes? Well, they were the experts in the Old Testament law. They were what we might think of today as similar to lawyers, knowing the law. You heard me describe these scribes in a few Sundays ago as the legislative branch of Jewish religious life. And so one of the scribes came to Jesus, having heard them, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish religious leaders, reasoning together, perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, and he had his own question. Now, unlike the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it does not seem as if the scribe came maliciously. It doesn't seem that he came trying to trap Jesus, trying to corner Jesus, trying to catch him in his words. It seems that he came honestly. He came sincerely. And he asked this question, verse 28. Which is the first commandment of all? You may or may not know that the scribes and others had determined that in the Old Testament, there were 613 laws. 613. And of the 613, 365 were prohibited. Don't commit adultery. Don't commit murder. Don't lie. Don't steal. But there were another 248 that were positive. Honor your father and your mother. And so they had put all of these together. And the scribe was asking Jesus a very honest, a very sincere question, examining him. Which is the first commandment of all? Which is the foremost? The most important, if you will. And if you'll look beginning in verse 29, you'll see the explanation from the Savior. The explanation from the Lord Jesus. He said, verse 29, the first of all the commandments is. So Jesus is going to give his answer. And he quotes from the Old Testament. He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 4 and 5, and here's what he said. Hear, O Israel. In the language of the Old Testament, the Shema. Listen up, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord, is one. All of these other nations have all of the different gods that they worship, but the Lord our God, Jehovah, He is one. And recognizing who the one true God is, verse 30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now, we could probably spend hours, as those who've gone before us have done, in trying to discern and understand, well, what does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart? And what does it mean to love Him with all your soul? And what does it mean to love Him with all your mind? So, rather than doing that this morning, if you write or underline or circle in your Bibles, I want you to circle the four alls of verse 30. All your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. Rather than trying to decide, what does it mean with all your heart? What does it mean? I think that Jesus is simply saying that we are to love the Lord with everything that we have and everything that we are. The totality of our being. We are to love the Lord in whatever we do, and whatever we say, and whatever we think, and all that we are and all that we do, we are to love the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, I think if we're honest this morning, We're oftentimes guilty of compartmentalizing. We're guilty of loving the Lord our God on Sunday. But are we good at loving Him on Monday through Saturday? We are good at loving Him in our marriage. But are we good at loving Him in our parenting? We are good at loving Him with our jobs. But are we good at loving Him in our recreation? We're good at loving Him with our health. But are we good at loving Him with our finances? Jesus said, the first commandment is to love the Lord with all of our being. On Sunday and on Monday through Saturday. And love Him with your marriage and with your parenting. And love Him with your job and your recreation. And love Him with your health and your finances. You see, we're to love Him with all and all and all and all. But He continues. Doesn't stop there. Verse 31. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Again, quoting from the Old Testament. But not Deuteronomy this time, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18 is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now Jesus is going to tell us in the Gospels who is our neighbor. It's not just the person sitting next to you. It's not just the person who lives across the street from you or beside you. Jesus said, our neighbor is whomever God brings into our life. And it has very little to do with geographical proximity. By the way, something that I have been encouraging and advocating here at Emory Baptist Church for over 5 years in our own mission statement, Emory Baptist Church exists to love God and love people and make disciples. That was original with the Bible and no one else. We are to love God and we are to love people. Verse 32, so the scribe said to him, well said, teacher. Jesus was receiving a compliment here. Well said, teacher, you've spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. You see, this scribe, he understood what was true. He had the knowledge. But the last observation that I want to make with you this morning is in verse 34. And it's the extrapolation about being saved. To extrapolate means to infer, to conclude, to apply. And notice what Jesus says. Notice how Jesus takes this question and His answers and He directs it to salvation. Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Now, notice that he didn't say, you're not in the kingdom of God. But he said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And there's a difference between the two. So here's what I want you to take away from this morning. I want you to take away that there is one thing to know God's Word. It is another thing and a necessary requirement, as far as being saved, to do God's Word. Let me say that again. It's one thing to have the knowledge. It's another thing to live out that knowledge. Here's the way it's put in James chapter 2. Look there if you will. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. Here's what God's Word says. You believe that there is one God. Have you just heard that recently? You believe there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith, or pardon me, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now please understand me this morning. Works don't produce our salvation, but hear me, works prove our salvation. Let me say that again. Works don't produce our salvation. It's not what we do in order to be saved, but they are what we do because we are saved. And if you've been following along with me in that daily devotional through John chapters 15, 16, and 17, if the branch is not producing fruit, the branch is cut off, Jesus said. And so, yes, salvation is a gift of God by the grace of God. But, brothers and sisters, it's not enough simply to know the truth. The demons know the truth. Are we doing the truth? If we're followers of Christ, we will. But here's the second thing, a second truth that I want you to see this morning from God's Word, and it's that to love God is to love our neighbor. We cannot separate the two. That's why Jesus said not only to love God, but also to love neighbor. Jesus doesn't separate the two. He joins them together. And listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then listen to this. Notice what he says. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and said to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. And then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? Or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you. They're confused. Notice what he says. Then he will answer them, saying, verse 45, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Brothers and sisters, if you love God, you will love your neighbor. And if you don't love your neighbor, then it is questionable as to whether or not you love God. Because those two are not mutually exclusive. So I want to ask you this morning, how far are you from the kingdom of God? Brother Richard, I'm in the kingdom of God because I've put my faith and trust in Christ. Awesome. Are you loving your neighbor? If you're not in the kingdom of God this morning, I want to invite you today to be saved. I want to invite you today to put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time. I want to invite you today to allow the Lord to transfer you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and then I'm going to invite you to stand, and we'll be singing across the sanctuary auditorium this morning. And if today you would answer that call to faith in Christ, I would invite you to come. I'll be standing here at the front, ready to greet you, ready to welcome you, ready to counsel with you, to pray with you. But how far are you from the kingdom of God? Let's pray together. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, hopefully you can answer that question honestly this morning. If you are in the kingdom of God, are you loving the Lord with all of who you are and all of what you do? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? If you're not in the kingdom of God, would you answer that call to faith today? Father in heaven, we're grateful and thankful for your love for us. We're grateful and thankful for your conversation with the scribe. Please, Lord, today, save those who are lost. Convict those who are saved to live a life worthy of your calling, loving you and loving others. And Lord, let us be the hands and feet of Christ to all that you put in our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? And as Chris comes to lead us this morning, would you come today on the very first stanza?